Sunrise with Shona on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is wonderful to be with you this morning. Last week, we looked at our purpose, our call, and I spoke about how we are all called by name, how God knows us all by name, calls us by name, how God is with us, how we have nothing to fear, and how we can answer our call through the power of the Holy Spirit if we take time to listen to God. I looked at the call of the prophet Isaiah, I looked at the call of King David, the call of John, and Jesus, who was obedient to God, even unto death. Today I'm going to go backwards a little in time and go to the 6th of January, where we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, the wise men visiting Jesus, and I want to look at it in more detail, because there's so much that we can learn from it that I believe will help us in 2025. Of course, it's right after the birth of Jesus, and we do believe that these wise men only appeared when Jesus was about 2, and that is why Herod orders that all the male Hebrew boys under 2 be killed. So let's read the account from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was greatly disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So why do I think the story is so important, and what does it teach us? I'm going to look at that in a moment, but first on the Mighty Hot 102.7, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Sunrise with Shona on Hot 102.7.
Breathe on Me, Breath of God, on the Mighty Hot 102.7. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And if you've just joined me, today I'm going back to the Epiphany of our Lord, the visit of the Magi to Jesus. We're going to be looking at the story in much more detail now. The story begins with a journey. And this is the first thing I want us to learn. It's a journey of the Magi, wise men, kings from the east. They were obviously Gentiles, not Jewish. And nowhere does it say there were three, even though we sing "We Three Kings of Orient Are." But they did bring three gifts, so maybe this is where it comes from. The Magi, as I said, are obviously not Jewish, and indicating right from Jesus' early days that he's the Messiah of all. The Magi are on this journey to find the Messiah, to find this king, to worship him. Isn't that the journey that we're on too? Not to find Jesus, because hopefully we've already found Jesus, or Jesus has found us, but to earnestly seek Jesus more deeply each and every day. And of course, these Magi journeyed together, and we are fortunate enough to be on this journey together. We're not in isolation, with God and with other people. And I believe this is why it is so important for us to belong to a faith community, because we journey together, we discern together, we grow and learn together. So for the wise men, this would have been an arduous and an extremely dangerous journey. They traveled a long way, probably from Persia, and they had to persevere. They did have each other, they had the guiding star, but there would have been times when they must have wondered, wouldn't it have been easier if we hadn't set out on this journey? On our faith journey in life, we're also required to persevere. In fact, there will be times when we have to persevere. I wonder if there were times on your journey when you felt, wouldn't it be easier if I didn't do this? And like the wise men, maybe there were times when they felt, was this worth it? Maybe we should just turn back. But I hope and pray that all of us learn from these wise men how important it is to just keep going. Things may be hard, but they will get better, and the reward is enormous. We too are rewarded for our perseverance. Journey is part and parcel of our Christian work with God, and it's found throughout the Bible. Just think of Abram and Sarah. They were called to travel to foreign lands that God would show them. They didn't even know where they were going. Abram had to give everything, leave his family, leave everything behind, and follow where God was leading him. He had to trust in God. The Israelites, of course, were in the wilderness for 40 years before they entered the promised land. Mary had to travel with Joseph to Bethlehem when she was full term, pregnant. I would have hated to have done that journey. They then had to go to Egypt, flee to Egypt, then travel back after that. Our life, and of course our spiritual life, is a journey. Now going back to the Magi, they first go to Jerusalem following that star. Why a star? Because they were men who studied the stars, so God met them where they were at. He brought them a new star, and they were open enough to notice, awake enough to notice the star, and to follow that star. They responded. Jesus meets you and I wherever we are. Wherever we are today, Jesus meets us. We need to be awake and aware of God's presence, and we need to be prepared to follow. As I told you last week, Jerusalem was the political and spiritual capital of Israel, so it makes sense that they went there first, looking for the Messiah. But of course they don't find him. Just another indication to us that Jesus, right from the start, showed us that he was a very different kind of king and countercultural. Surely God would have wanted his son to be born in Jerusalem. That was the capital. But no, he's born in little Bethlehem. So God shows us over and over again that he's bringing a different kingdom into play. The important lesson for me is that the kings, well, these wise men don't give up and go home. They decide to consult. So they go and they ask people for directions. Now, here's a little aside. I know that most men out there don't ask for directions, but maybe you need to take a leaf out of the book of the Magi, because that is how they find Jesus. So they go and consult, and they also, the chief priests and the scribes, tell Herod that this baby was born in Bethlehem. So Herod tells them that they must go to Bethlehem and find the baby. But what I love about this is that they needed scripture to find baby Jesus. We too need scripture. They do, however, have a failure in judgment when they share far too much detail with Herod, who's so disturbed that he wants to kill all the babies under two, because obviously he doesn't want another king, a rival for himself. The Magi leave Jerusalem, and again the star leads them. They follow the star to Bethlehem, and they find Mary and Jesus. What is their response? Remembering that these are very wealthy, wise men. They immediately kneel down and worship him, pay him homage. Imagine what that looked like in that culture at that time. Men, wise men from the East, kneeling down and worshipping a little Hebrew baby in a culture where babies were not really respected at all. The wise men humbled themselves and worshipped. I think that is a lesson we need to learn this year as well. We all need to humble ourselves and just worship God. They offer him gifts. They didn't have a shopping list for God like we so often do when we go into prayer time. God, please do this, 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 this. They didn't come with complaints. They simply came to worship Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Do we ever just go to God simply to worship God? Or do we mostly have some sort of shopping list or hidden agenda? It makes me think, as I think of how far these men traveled and what risks and hardships they endured, that we all need to sometimes just bow down and worship and give whatever gifts we have to God. So it's something for us to think about as we listen to Broken for You on the Mighty Hot 1027. And of course, Jesus was broken for you and for I, so that we may have life eternal and fullness of life here on earth.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Broken for You on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and we've been looking at the journey of the Magi. Obviously, I started by speaking about how we're all on a journey too, a spiritual journey as well as a physical journey with God, and how on that spiritual journey we need to persevere, we need to keep going. God is always with us, and we need to be open to God, and God meets us wherever we are. And I've challenged us to think about how often we go to God with a shopping list instead of just going to God to worship, bowing down like these Magi from the East, wealthy men, bowing down and just worshiping God, because God is God. And because we come from that space where we long to worship God. When we move on in the story now, the Magi present Jesus with three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, first of all, is a gift fit for a king. So they are stating, Jesus is the king, and of course Jesus is born King of the Jews. So he's offered that gift of gold. It's a very valuable gift. It may have even financed Mary and Joseph's trip to Egypt. We don't know that. But maybe it did. Maybe it gave them the funds they needed to flee Herod and to live in exile in Egypt. They give Jesus a gift then fit for a king that also symbolizes his divinity. Let's not forget that pagan gods were made out of gold. The Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with gold, so it was a very, very significant gift, symbolizing that he was a king, symbolizing that he was God. Frankincense is a white resin or gum. It's obtained from a tree. They make incisions in the bark and allow the gum to flow out. It's highly fragrant when burned and used in worship, almost like incense, where it's burnt as a pleasant offering to God. Of course, it is an appropriate gift then to give to a priest, and we know that Jesus was also a priest. It's often used in the temple for worship and sacrifices. Giving it to Jesus reminds us all that he's a priest, our high priest, who opens the gate of the temple, opens the gates of heaven itself, so that we can worship God, so that we can be connected to God. When we come to Easter, I talk about how Jesus rolled away that tombstone, how it had been rolled away, opened it, opened up communication for us, opened up a channel for us to commune directly with God. Then what about the myrrh? Myrrh is a product of Arabia. It was obtained from a tree in the same manner as frankincense. It was a spice used for embalming, so it was associated with death. And in this way, a very prophetic gift, considering how Jesus would one day die around the age of 33. So in this reading, we have birth that is celebrated and death, divinity and kingship. Myrrh was also sometimes mingled with wine to form an article of drink. Maybe it's similar to the drink that Jesus was given when he was crucified to try and lessen the pain he was feeling. Matthew in 27:34 refers to that drink as gall. Myrrh symbolizes bitterness, suffering, affliction. The baby Jesus would grow to suffer greatly as a man, and he would pay the ultimate price when he gave his life up for you and for I, for all who would believe in him. Then we are told, after giving these gifts, which symbolize death, which symbolize priesthood, which symbolize kingship and deity, the Magi then leave Bethlehem, and they return home by a different road. They warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they leave for their own country by another road, one they don't know. And it absolutely fascinates me that these men from the East are so good at hearing God and so obedient to God. They're not Jewish, and yet they can hear God, and they are obedient to God, and they understand their dreams. I think it's a lesson for all of us to hear and obey God without question, even if it means huge inconvenience and traveling on a road that we don't know, a journey that is unknown. There might also be some symbolism in all of this, as the Magi will no doubt have been changed by encountering the Messiah. Therefore, they're on a different route, a different path themselves in their life, a different spiritual path. What does all of this mean for you and I today? We are on a journey. We're on a journey physically. We're on a journey spiritually. We do have people accompanying us. We just have to find them. We have to go to a place of worship, find people to accompany us on the spiritual journey. We need to know God's word. The Magi only found that baby Jesus because the chief priests and the elders knew God's word. We need to seek God and continue on this journey even when it gets rough. We have to persevere. I believe that in 2025, let us often go to God just to worship God without any agenda or requests of our own. And of course, we learn that God is for everyone, Jew and Gentile. Our God is a God of all. And while we may not be able to give real gold, frankincense and myrrh, what we can give instead of gold is an offering of love of our hearts in Jesus. God wants our hearts, not just our minds, but our hearts. And it has been suggested that the gift of frankincense could be the offering of truth in our minds to Jesus as we live our life here, and the gift of myrrh offering the service of our hands to Jesus until our time here on earth is done. And I quite like that. We're giving our whole selves to God. I pray that you have a great week. I hope that I've given you some food for thought. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless you. To wrap up this morning, hallelujah, and seek ye first the kingdom of God on the Mighty Hot 1027.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.